Hey, legends, you know, none of our interviews or episodes ever date, ever. They are all timeless and ready for you for when you're ready to listen. Download the lot and rip in. Everyone at some time has a question about their finances. For all your answers and a free chat, contact our sponsors, Galaxy Finance, and ask for Leanne. Any questions, any queries, they have the solutions from home loan lending to complete financial planning. With Galaxy Finance, they'll do all the work for you and find the best possible deal. They'll do it all. Get in contact and mention Unfiltered for that free chat. A free chat, no obligations, a free chat just by mentioning Unfiltered. Get in touch with Leanne at galaxyfinance.com.au. This is Andy Raymond Unfiltered, the Legends series, Steve Price, part two. Enjoy. Your next GF would be 98, the year the competition came back together. We'll save Super League and the torment and the friendships for another interview. It was you guys versus Brisbane. What stands out there, mate? They were just such a red-hot footy side at the time.
Yeah, and we shouldn't have been there, really. Like, we had to win.
On paper.
Well, yeah. We had to win our last game in Inora against the Steelers, who are always tough at Wollongong, to make the semis. Mm. And we beat, like, Polly kicked a field goal in the last 2 minutes of the game. Mm. Then we play St George, we're down 10-0 at Cogra, and we come back and beat them. Then we play North Sydney Oval, we beat them.
Same.
We go through, we beat
Parramatta.
Newcastle, then Parramatta, and then we got Brisbane, and we're up for the first time. We're ahead at half time, and then whatever Wayne said at half time, they put 30 on us in the second half. That year, that was the first year I made the Aussie side, and in the Aussie side, there was 9 Broncos.
That's
how good they were.
Yeah. 98 will also be remembered fondly by you, your first Queensland, first Australian jerseys. How special are they along the journey? The first one.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah, incredible. My debut was at Lang Park. So, you know, in front of your family.
Yeah.
Against New Zealand. Jay Wagner knocked me out in the first couple of minutes that I was on there for. I come off the bench and I think I was on there 5 minutes and he knocked me out, but, you know, stayed on.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen these days. Stayed on, and then we went to Auckland, and I think Bobby was the coach in the Anzac Test, and they lost at the start of the year, and then Wayne took over, and we won the last two games at the end of the year to win the series. So it was great. Obviously, Wayne was the coach. He was the Origin coach as well. Mm. So, yeah, learned a lot from Wayne. And to play with the players that I got to play with was, I actually didn't believe I deserved to be there. And that was probably my biggest mistake I made for my early period in both the Queensland and Aussie team. I just didn't see myself as one of those players.
Wow.
And I sort of changed my thought process that I had to be them to be able to be in those teams. And I sound like Darren Lockyer, but I'm never going to be Darren Lockyer.
Yeah.
So. And I got dropped in 2000 by the Queensland team and also the Kangaroos. And it was a reality check. It was good. I sort of looked at all the reasons why I got there.
Yeah.
And then the reasons why I got dropped from there. Mm. And, yeah, I wasn't me. So I just went back to being me and just busting my ass again. And there was no guarantees you were going to get back there, but if I did, I was just going to be me when I was there, you know, I didn't drink, I didn't go out really, so I thought if I don't do that normally, why would I do it when I'm in those camps?
Yeah.
But I thought I had to fit in.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was a good lesson, but a tough lesson because you're not guaranteed of getting that other chance. But
no. When
I did, I probably enjoyed my time for Queensland and Australia the second time. Because I truly believed I deserved to be there. And
you were you. You're being honest to
yourself. I was being me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not always smiles. A couple of years later, you'd be named Bulldogs captain, which is a fabulous honour. But the timing was such it coincided with the club being caught outside of the salary cap. How tough was that?
Yeah, so I always wanted to be the captain of the Bulldogs. I had been in my juniors, and it was one of those things that we had Terry Lamb, and then we had Simon Gillies, and then we had Darren Britt, and great captains, and, you know, you sort of had to wait for them to retire or go to another club to get a chance. So when it came, I was so honoured. We lost our first game to Wests, which is a game we should have won.
Wow.
We drew our second game to Brisbane, and we were looked at as being title favourites.
Yep.
And then we went on that 17-game winning streak, which was unbelievable. Just a fantastic year, and then the bombshell got dropped where the salary cap, I was in constant sort of talks with David Gallop.
Yep.
Which was good. And then he rung me when the verdict was coming down.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was devastating. We went to Canberra that next day, and we were down 20-0 after 20 minutes. Mm. Come back and lost, I think, 32-30. And then the next week we played Melbourne. I think we flogged them, and then we had to play Brisbane last game at home at the Showgrounds, and Brisbane had to win to finish minor premiers.
Mm.
And spoke to Wayne before the game. I said, "We're going to win tonight." And he goes, "No, you're not." And I said, "Yep." And, mate, like, it was just as good as winning a grand final.
Was it really?
Because there was a packed house.
Yep.
All our fans probably became closer to us than it had back in the day.
Mm.
You know, with Super League, it sort of separated us from our fans. And with all of that happening, we just become so close as a club.
Mm.
And that's when we got cheered after the game. The crowd ran onto the field.
Yeah.
And it was as good as winning the comp. We weren't going to win the comp. And David said to me, he goes, "We had to take 37 points off you, so you definitely couldn't win the comp."
Yeah.
We couldn't have the Bulldogs up on the stage. So it was heartbreaking. First year as captain, always wanted to be captain and always wanted to win a premiership.
My issue with these stories is that you and your teammates become the front page picture and the story. The guys that had the calculators in their hand, made the decisions, should have been accountable. They often remain unknown to the greater public. That sucks. But how does a young bloke, and you are still a young bloke at this time in your career, and a young family deal with that? Because it's a negative story, it's negative headlines, and it's emotion charged, and you've got a young family hearing and seeing all these terrible things about dad and his mates.
Yeah, probably, you know, when you play, when we play away and stuff like that, some of the stuff that gets said, oh, I'm all cool with it. But if your wife and or your mother or someone's around, they're the ones that I always felt sorry for. And when I go and watch games, I go and watch Brent play, and you hear people say things about, you know, your brother-in-law or good mates, and you know they wouldn't say that to them
if they
were standing in front of them.
Yep.
You just got to forget about that sort of stuff.
Are you good at turning the other cheek?
Well, I was, and there was only once that I didn't.
And
I got knocked out
in
Origin, So every other time I'd always cop it and I'd just walk away. And, I suppose what I did learn from that was on the Saturday I had to go into Channel 7 to do an interview with Bruce McAvaney.
Yep.
And that had been organised months before.
Oh, time.
So Polly McArdle was our media, and she just sort of said, "Steve, if you don't want to do it, I totally get it. We'll just can it." Might have been on the Sunday. So we played the Friday night, I think, against Brisbane.
Would have been Sports World Sunday.
We had recovery on Saturday, and she said on Saturday, because all the media are at training because it dropped on Friday night.
Yep.
And so I said, no, I'm all good. I'm going. So I went there, and Bruce said to me before I went on, he goes, "Mate, you got some brass monk. You got some brassies, mate, because I wouldn't have been here if I was you."
Yeah.
So anyway, I was there, and they asked me some questions, but I thought they were very harmless, really. And then when we got off, he goes, "You know what?" He goes, I've got a lot of respect for you, because he said, you turning up, he goes, we're going to unload on you blokes. He goes, but it's a lot harder when someone's sitting in front of you to do that.
Yeah.
And that was the best lesson I learned.
Yep.
Straight away, every time I got an opportunity, I would front up and be face-to-face with media. Mm. And what we worked out really quickly was just to have one spokesperson.
Yeah.
Because we had a vast group of individuals.
Yeah.
From Willie Mason to
– big personalities.
To people who can't – don't want to say anything.
Yep.
So we learnt really quickly that it was basically me and Malcolm or Folksy that would talk. Yep. Which was a lot of pressure from my perspective, because I felt that I was speaking on behalf of a lot, whether it was rugby league, because there's other people who don't follow rugby league who are watching, and then our fans and our sponsors and other fans and other sponsors and just people in general in rugby league. So, I was worried about jailing the kids just publicly, whether they'd get we were pretty lucky, the schools the kids went to. They were aware of it, and they were going to nip it in the bud if anything happened. But I suppose we'll get to it, but in a couple of years that was probably worse.
Hey legends, I hope you're enjoying this edition of Andy Raymond Unfiltered. Would you like to be part of the team? Our sponsorship packages are ready to go, from scripted ads to website placement and social media promotions, personal appearances, voice recordings and more. The opportunities are limited only by your imagination. You set the terms. Unfiltered is reaching hundreds of thousands of potential clients every single week, and we can cater to businesses both big and small. We'll work with you to guarantee you get exactly what you want, how you want and when you want. Packages start from as little as $150. If you're interested in joining our team, go to our website and hit the sponsorship tab at andyraymondunfiltered.com.au.
Yeah, 04, great year under your watch, made the grand final. However, in the cruelest of circumstances, you did your ACL the week before the big dance. You missed it, the Dogs won, you watched. Does that still hurt?
Yeah, it does, because it was something that I wanted to achieve. And you're a part of it, but you don't feel like you're a part of it.
Yeah.
Because you didn't play on that one day. That was, I think, the only game I missed, other than Origin, games that I had to miss, but I think that was the only game I missed. But what I was saying, the thing that makes that year even more amazing in the victory was what we had to deal with at the start of the year.
Yeah.
So with the sexual assault allegations, and that I found harder than the salary cap, because we all as a group said that we won't say any of the names who are being questioned.
Yep.
And we'll all go and get questioned by the police and get DNA tested. And everyone did except for Haz, which we totally respected. Yep. And so we did that. And when you talk about headlines and names and all that sort of stuff, that was probably the toughest, because being called a rapist or that type of thing, when you're a father of three, and I'd go and pick the kids up from school, and you could see the mums looking and pointing, and you knew exactly what they were looking and pointing at. And the school, again, were outstanding. I suppose what broke my heart the most out of that period, which I totally understand, but we weren't allowed to go and do school visits.
Yep.
And that's something that I really enjoyed. And the reason why I did was because I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I looked for opportunities to be able to go and have those moments with kids to inspire and want them to reach for something. Like I had that with Bobby Lindner and others, right? So to not be able to do that, but I understood why the case was going on, but that was drawn out, and it was some real individual egos that were at stake through the whole thing, which everyone's found that out now.
Yes.
Which really a lot of people were hurt. The biggest one, I suppose, is Mitsubishi Electric to stay with us.
Yeah.
Like they left – if they had left us at that time, the club wouldn't have existed. So for their CEO and being a Japanese company,
very conservative,
was huge. So the CEO at the time was very close to the club, but he had a lot of pressure on him from Japan, and he said no, and it's all good. And the reason why they came with us was to get publicity, or get recognised, and their brand went through the roof. So it worked really, really well for them, even though it was negative to start with.
It paid off for them.
It did. I suppose the thing that breaks my heart is that when it did come down from the judge, it was as though they didn't have the proof to be able to prove. It wasn't that there was no one guilty. It was, no, there wasn't enough proof to be able to claim.
It was worded like that, wasn't it?
It was, which was really disappointing. But there's a lot of stuff that's come out since, and there's so many the police that were a part of it that really struggled and no longer with the police. And to then go on and win the comp was truly incredible. And I think from a personal perspective, I appreciated a lot more of what it takes to win a comp. I won one in 95 and I played. And so I was in the euphoria and all that. The players who didn't but still played a part wouldn't have felt as much of a part of it. When I was that player, you really get a perspective on it takes a large group to win the comp rather than just the 17 who play on the night. And that's what I got a real appreciation for. And I don't know whether I would have had that if I had played, you know what I mean. So I'm really – I'm proud of that because it taught me so much more. And we're still able to win. And I was really proud of us able to win because it was a great group. And they were really good young boys. And when I say
– young, they were.
They were. And like Sonny would come to New Zealand and would say g'day to Joe and the kids by their name. And he's a superstar. And he didn't have to do that. And Jonathan would. And, you know, that's just the calibre of the people. So, yeah, it was a really incredible moment. And – yeah, we're close, you know, and even now we're on a WhatsApp group and, you know, still in communication with each other, and it's, yeah, it's really special. So I don't know every team who wins is like that, but we'd been through so much in a short period that 03 was disappointing we didn't win. It was the game where it should have been Bulldogs, Roosters, but we didn't play our part. We lost the first week, so that meant we had to play the Roosters before the grand final. But then, we're able to do it. You know what? It'd be really selfish for me to say that's one of the biggest regrets I've got in my life as a rugby league player, because I was able to play 313 games, play for my country and play for my state and play in grand finals and play for great clubs. So I'd be really selfish to say, but I would have loved to have played 314 games.
I can see that. Mate, the salary cap drama, the Coffs Harbour drama, do you recover fully? Are there still mental scars for everyone involved?
I think you recover to a degree where it's just going to be play on, you know, get on with things. It's brought up every single time there's a sex scandal, the Bulldogs comes up. Every time there's a salary cap issue, the Bulldogs come up, you know, so... It is what it is. At the end of the day, I'm really proud of the players and the staff and the club. You know, like at the end of the day, the people made the decisions because they wanted our club to be the best. And it goes on every day in everyday life in all sorts of places. There's people doing probably things they shouldn't be doing, but they're doing it because they want to have success. So that's the unfortunate part, but you realise why, because when you have the success, it's euphoric.
You had been through so much with the Bulldogs, so much. You'd gone from kid to leader, then bang, you're off to New Zealand. What was the decision-making process there? How did that come about?
There was a few things. I suppose the biggest one is Gary Hughes. When Gaz got sacked over the – it was Sonny Bill wearing a Nike shirt. The paper blew it up. Texas Longhorns, we play dirty. So they blew that up and said, oh, this is what they think. And, I mean, Sonny was at training and the Gaz said to him, you've got to go get interviewed now and then you're going to the police. I don't know too many players who wear suits to training when you're not told that you're going to go and do an interview.
Yep.
So anyway, so that was a big one for me because Gaz, he was born and bred Canterbury.
Yeah.
You can't get much more Canterbury than Gary Hughes. Yep. And if he got sacked, I want to be a part of this club forever.
Mm.
But if that can happen to Gary Hughes, I'm nobody compared to him.
Yep.
So I started looking at my team rather than, you know, the club going, this is a, I want to do everything for this place, which I did, but I've gone, they're the ones I come home to every night and they're the ones I'm going to have for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So I've got to do what's important for them. Mm. I got a call out of the blue from a guy who knew my situation at Canterbury. When the salary cap hit, I was just about to sign a deal. We didn't. And then when Turvey took over, he wanted to sign me straight away and it wasn't anywhere near what I was going to be signing.
Yeah.
And so he said, right, what we'll do is a two-year deal with a two-year option in your favour. You'll be on this much for the 2 years and then we'll try and get things sorted and give you what you should get at that time. That was 2004.
Yeah.
And Sonny was re-signing, Mace was re-signing, Ogre was re-signing. Yeah. Everyone was re-signing. So George went to him and said, you haven't re-signed or done what you said you were going to do.
He's the skipper.
And Malcolm was there then, so it wasn't Turvey. So things had changed, but they sort of said, oh, well, we can't, you know. So that was disappointing, but that wasn't the reason why I went. But there's a number of things that have made up the puzzle. So when this phone call came, they said, basically, would you consider having a chat? And I said, yep, let's have a chat. So I went and had a chat, and they said a lot of really good things that I thought, okay, because I'd never even thought about leaving ever.
Yep.
And so I thought, okay. And so then they started having more, you know, dialogue. Yep. And then with George, George didn't want me to go there because he sort of didn't trust.
This is George Mimas, your manager. Yep.
Yeah. He didn't trust the Warriors, and only because he didn't have a player there. That was the only reason.
So it's the unknown.
He never had a player, at the Warriors. So he was unsure. And met with him and, then I spoke with Joe. She went over to New Zealand, had a look. I said, you've got to be comfortable with living in New Zealand. So she did.
She got a young family at this stage.
100%. Yeah. So I think Jamie was 6, Case was 4, and Riley might have been like 2.
Jeez, big change.
Yeah, anyway, we did that. And, I just said, I think I need to go. Right? We looked at going to England, but at the time there was a whole terrorism thing and I thought if something happened, it'd be hard to get back from the UK. Yep. And I still want to play in the NRL. I still want to play for Queensland, Australia. So by going to the Warriors, I thought that'll be different for us as a family, but not too different.
Yep.
And I can still play in the NRL. So
everyone at some time has a question about their finances. For all your answers and a free chat, contact our sponsors, Galaxy Finance, and ask for Leanne. Any questions, any queries, they have the solutions from home loan lending to complete financial planning. With Galaxy Finance, they'll do all the work for you and find the best possible deal. They'll do it all. Get in contact and mention Unfiltered for that free chat. A free chat, no obligations, a free chat just by mentioning Unfiltered. Get in touch with Leanne at galaxyfinance.com.au.
Positive experience, the Warriors?
It was incredible.
Yep.
Yep. Far exceeded my expectations.
Is it really?
I was most concerned about Joe and the kids.
Yeah.
But like I said before about Jamie's netball, about Casey, the schooling was incredible.
Yep.
We were looked after so well. It was, we'd still be there now if our family lived there.
Really?
Yeah. And then when Brent came over, that was really cool.
Yep.
With Lani and the kids. Excuse me. And then, just really, really good in regards to, went to the Bulldogs and the culture was already created. Yeah. Expectations were really high. You either survive or you sink or swim. And Rubes was the same at Canberra.
Yep.
To go to the Warriors, who hadn't had that, they had fluctuating, and to try and build that foundation was very exciting. And where I was at my career, I was older, and I thought this is probably the challenge I need. And it sort of first year was really scary because it was a lot worse than what I thought.
Yeah.
And some changes happened and absolutely loved it. Ivan was great to be coached by. He was learning. Mm. Campo was over there for a period. Tony Kemp was a coach when I first went there. I was going there with Daniel being the coach, but then he got sacked. I really wanted to play with Ali Lartiti, but Ali went to Leeds.
That's right.
There was a lot of stuff happening, which was sad, but, yeah, we loved New Zealand and we were there 13 years in the end.
You and Ruben did set that platform in terms of professionalism, in terms of the fundamentals that are required around a footy club, discipline, commitment. I thought you job done, tick.
Mate, Rubes, I'll give you one example. So we're in New Zealand and we're saying guys don't like coming and playing here. Mm. Like Auckland is a hard place to play.
Yeah.
It's a hard footy team to play against and it's cold and it's wet and it's like when we go to training, the boys would be in the dressing room as long as they could be, didn't want to come out. And like Rubes and I had a talk and we go, we got to make this, this is our weather, this is our place, this, we're going to make this an advantage, right?
Mm.
So one day he just runs out and the boys were all sort of coming out and not really wanting to get wet and not cold. And Rubes just ran and dived into the biggest puddle you could find on the training paddy, right? And all the boys are just, this bloke is a lunatic.
Yeah.
But that set the standard. So then it was a race from that on, that time on.
To get into the puddle.
To get the wettest, the fastest, and not wait in the dressing room, get out and do your pre-stuff and all of that.
Wow.
One thing that Ruben did,
yep,
and it completely changed their psychology and we started winning at home and made it really, really hard for the opposition. Like Matty Bowen didn't want to go to Auckland, mate.
Yeah.
He's used to 38 degrees in Townsville. That's he doesn't want to go to negative two feel, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that was incredible. And, yeah, I loved playing with him. As you said, he didn't have to say anything, Rubes.
Yeah.
And I knew all those young boys would just be Google-eyed.
Yeah, just very much.
Love playing with him. And we had some amazing young kids come through. And what changed was the good young kids in New Zealand started signing with the Warriors before they'd sign with Australian teams, which was a huge turnaround because they'd go to Melbourne or Brisbane or all these other clubs in Sydney and Brisbane and wherever. And they started, we got Ben Madalino and Sonny Fye and Manu Vatavoy and all these great young kids. So really good to be around them. And I grew from their energy. I looked forward to going to training. Like Sonny was one of those, you know, you turn up to training and he'd be there on the computer just giggling his head off at silly stuff because he didn't have Wi-Fi at home, so he'd come to training 2 hours early to be able to go on Wi-Fi.
There's a huge test for a leader, and you and Ruben were leaders at the time. A young teammate losing his life. You know, the Sonny Fye incident. It's a test at any age.
Yeah, it was terrible. Sonny had an influence on two-year-olds right through to 98-year-olds. He was a beautiful soul, an outstanding athlete, and just an incredible person. So, you know, the way I looked at it was that he was here for a reason, short and sharp, and he had an absolute impact. I loved every moment I had with Sonny, and I'll never, ever forget him. And I know that everyone else who had anything to do with him will be the same. So, just blessed to have spent the couple of years that I got to spend with him. And it was a really, really sad time for a lot of people. And I feel disappointed because we set out to make him proud of us and we put his name on our jersey with his signature and his Warrior number and we didn't make the semifinals.
Mm.
And I think I look back on it and we always spoke about things, but I don't think it really hit me on what impact it had on us until at the end of the year on 60 Minutes, Manu did an interview, 60 Minutes in New Zealand, and he was giggling, just Manu, you know, gold teeth, having a ball, and then the lady said, what impacts of the passing, you know, the loss of Sonny Fye have on you, and he just started bawling, like, uncontrollably.
Yep.
Snot coming out of his nose and mouth and... And, like, I was doing the same, and I think it just hit that there was no way we were going to be able to fully pay respects to Sonny.
Yep.
Because of how much he meant to us, you know, and it was hurting us so bad. Mm. I think that was when I really woke up and realised how much he meant to us.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, very difficult.
Yeah, it was.
Really difficult. Mate, at the end of your career, how much does that hurt? The fact you didn't get to go out on your terms, injury dictated. We'd all love the dream finish, whether it's a grand final, whether it's just winning your last game. You didn't even get to choose your last game.
Yeah, so I was really angry for that whole year because I had an operation at the end of 2009 on my heel, so I didn't have to – I was getting a local every game into my heel because it was no good. So I did that for 2 years, and like when you play Origin, you got to do it a couple of times in a week, yeah. So that's not healthy, and it was – agony and whatever. Anyway, so I went to sore specialist. They said, we can do an operation and that'll fix it. So beautiful. So I did. And then I got golden staff and all sorts of stuff. So as the weeks went by, I tried harder and harder to get back onto the field. And I was always someone that if someone said, you're going to be out 12 weeks, I'll be back in eight.
Yep.
You know? And the harder I tried, the worse it made it, which broke my heart. When I look back, I was never a chance of playing. And even Brent said, I was running around warming up to do my fitness test to be able to play on a weekend. And he goes, mate, you were hobbling when you were running. Like, we're playing in the NRL. Like, you're dreaming if you can think you're going to be able to. He goes, it would have been embarrassing. You would have got embarrassed.
Jeez.
So I was probably good in a way that I didn't get on the field. Yep. But what it did do for me was, I think if I had played every game and done what I wanted to do, then you would have had that thought, oh, I could probably go again.
Yep.
But when you have the injury, it's certain. You can't play again and it's over and, you know, toughen up, princess. You've got to go and find something else.
Father Time's undefeated.
It was, And that was probably the hardest thing to accept, but it was also the greatest thing in a way because it made it an end.
Your impression in New Zealand was such, 2011, the New Zealand New Year's Honours List, a member of the New Zealand Order of Merit, not your country of origin. That is extremely rare. How proud are you of that medal?
Yeah, it blew me away. I thought it was the boys cheering me up when I got the letter. Mm. So I rung up and asked the lady, like, I actually rung because it said, if you've got any questions. So I rung, you know, the Beehive, Parliament House in Wellington, and just sort of said to the lady, I've got this letter and it tells me that I've just been nominated for this and whether I'd like to accept it, and I just want to know whether this is genuine or not.
And it's my brother-in-law taking the piss.
And so she's like going through it and she said, I just got to identify you, and yep, no worries, so I did. And she says, no, absolutely, Mr. Price. Like, you've been nominated by a citizen. Like, she wouldn't tell you who, by someone in New Zealand. And then it's been obviously accepted and put forward. And I've just gone, oh, my goodness, really? And then she says, yep. And she said, well, you accepted. And I said, well, you know that I'm Australian. And she says, yeah, that's fine. Like, we're in the Commonwealth. It's the Commonwealth. Like, that's fine. And I was just going, oh, I can't believe it. So, yeah, it was truly humbling. Mum came over, and then Joe and the kids, we went to Government House. I was a bit embarrassed because there was people there, locals who'd been doing things for 70 years and 50 years and, you know, volunteers, and I've just landed here and here I am receiving this. But that pretty much sums up our time in New Zealand. We were so welcomed. And we had such a great time, and I'm really proud of that title. So I put it on my LinkedIn. People might know what it means. I know what it means, which is really important to me. And I'm just blown away that the people of New Zealand accepted us, our whole family, the way they did.
Like, did you ever find out who nominated you?
No, I didn't. No. Oh, I think they said it was someone in the community, so.
Wonderful.
I'm not sure.
Mate, if you look back over a long association with the game, any regrets? If you could change anything?
No, not really. I was blessed, mate. I was blessed to have played, like they say, average when I was playing, average first grade lifespan was 44 games. Mm. So I exceeded that. And, yeah, you know, my family were a part of it. We had our kids when we were young. Mm. So they saw a lot of it. Yeah, it was quite incredible. So, no, really proud, mate. And, no, it wouldn't be. It'd be only things like tearing my calf before the World Cup final, you know, doing my knee before the grand final. But that's just being really selfish and, you know.
It's not you.
No. It was really cool and, yeah, very proud. And so I love seeing these boys that are currently doing it, you know, because you see what the Queensland team did in game one and, like, I've done that. And I know how exciting and how great it is, like, for a Reuben Cotter. Like, incredible.
Yeah.
So it's just really cool and just, yeah, you know how people feel.
A captain of the year, a prop of the year, Warriors player of the year, Queensland player of the series, amongst a host of individual awards, 313 NRL games, 28 origins, 16 times a representative for Australia. It's been a pleasure. Steve Price, you, sir, are a legend.
Thanks, mate.
We hope you're enjoying this edition of Andy Raymond Unfiltered. The Legend series drops at the start of your working week. It's in-depth, personal, and highlights some of the game's finest from yesteryear. The weekly WOD drops in time for your weekend. It's full-on and the hottest podcast on the market. Why listen to opinions when you can listen to interviews with the stars? And on every episode, you can hear up to a dozen different players and coaches, both past and present, giving their thoughts on the great game. It's fast-paced, full of footy and laughs. It's a must-listen. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you are listening. That way, you won't miss a thing. Every episode will drop immediately. Before you go, we'd love a 5-star rating and review. It's not for ego, it's for business, as we look to expand the Unfiltered brand and bring you more. Make sure you come back soon. Legends. Mm-hmm.